round up the usual suspects.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
Welcome to PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody. And welcome to Tuesday, June the 16th of 2009.
Oh, the company is gone and we're back.
We're back. Sorry we missed you on Friday and yesterday. We had the best time.
We did. Sharon's sister, her kids, and a friend of theirs were with us through the weekend. We also, during the weekend, went down to Kentucky and were there for a family wedding. It was a wonderful get-together and always wonderful to have company, but nice to be back in our regular routine, too.
It is. And
we are creatures of habit.
Sam feels the same way. He loves company. If you ever are close, anywhere close to Central Indiana, please let us know. Mm-hmm. You are always welcome to stay here. Sam would be delighted. But like anybody, I go to visit somebody, and I'm always happy to go home. It's just a little bit, little joyful to have that space again. I love my family.
But there is a we are at heart creatures of habit. So anyway, back to our
Sam
routine.
Sam gets all these old bedrooms back.
Yeah, because that is the rule of the house, is that if Sam can see it, it's his. If he can touch it, it's his. If it's out of his reach, then you have to bring it down to his reach, which then makes it his. So
speaking of his, we got news to talk about that he says is all his too.
Yeah, it's strangely enough, the world didn't stop while we took our couple of days off.
I know. I was shocked by that. In fact, ABC News not only didn't stop, they've gone all the way to the White House.
That is kind of a bizarre situation that the so-called free press would just turn itself over to the president of the United States for the whole night. And Republicans aren't very happy about that.
And here's what kills me is, if I understand it correctly, ABC is going to be broadcasting their news. Mm-hmm. From the blue room, Sam just went.
He coughed up a hairball.
at the sound of this story. That's his opinion of this story. ABC is going to be broadcasting their news from the blue room. And this is the whole evening is Obama's. And in other words, it's like he's controlling the news, the ABC news cycle for an entire evening. And the DNC doesn't have to pay for it. You and I do.
Yeah, this is on June 24th. ABC will be there for the entire day. Charlie Gibson does world news tonight. And then there'll be a primetime special called Prescription for America about how the government is going to take over our health care and why that's a good idea.
Now, when is this? What night?
This is June 24th, right. This is
what shows will be preempted? See, we need to find out who's going to be the angriest.
It'll be next week Wednesday, so I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's on Wednesday night.
We don't watch network television very often. So, but it's probably no coincidence that the director of White House communications in the Office of Health Reform is a former ABC News reporter. Linda Douglas was an ABC News reporter from 1998 to 2006. So Republican National Committee Chief of Staff sent a letter to the White House demanding equal time. And, of course, the White House said, no.
Chris Matthews must be crushed. They didn't ask me.
Yeah, well, MSNBC is their official network anyway, so what a difference does that make?
Well, good point.
On one more quick political note regarding the president, nonpartisan watchdog group has filed a lawsuit against the White House because the Obama administration has taken up the same position that the Bush administration held, which is that the president doesn't need to reveal to the press who comes to visit to influence policy decisions. Now, remember when Dick Cheney had that secret meeting with all the honchos of the oil industry, mm-hmm. and how outraged progressives were? They demanded to know who was in that meeting and what was said and how it influenced policy. Now the Obama administration is in place, and they've decided that the same rules of secrecy should apply.
My.
Mm-hmm. Well, It's been an odd day in a number of ways. In a number of the stories you'll find posted at peeringinthedarkness.com, one of the videos that you posted is
the weeping icon.
Something that pops up in the news every now and then. We'll see something about a weeping statue. I've not had time to look into this. What is the story about?
Well, you know, apparently the pastor of this, or the bishop, I'm not really sure if he's priest or bishop, of an Orthodox church in Israel, arrived at the church one day and found that there was some sort of liquid on this icon, a painting, mm-hmm. a mural, and he wiped it off with a cotton cloth and it came back, and he wiped it off again, and it came back again, and it continues to come back, and it's oil.
Huh. And now before Protestants, you know, start rolling their eyes too quickly, remember there are, in evangelical circles, very similar manifestations, but usually it's some preacher who's got an anointing.
Mm-hmm.
We see this a lot in charismatic, well, not a lot, but we see it in charismatic churches where you've got, you know, so-and-so's got an anointing and mm-hmm. look, he's producing oil from his hands and, mm-hmm. and gold dust when he walks
in
the room.
I know, and angels are all around me.
So, well, what is your thought on things like this? I mean,
I think that there are signs that are genuine and there are lots and lots of signs that aren't genuine at all. And when I see something like this, I just don't feel that this is genuine. It's not the kind of thing that the Lord presents in his word, weeping statues. It is, however, the kind of thing that the enemy presents all the time. Statues that drink milk or weep or bleed or whatever. I just think that this is the kind of thing that's distracting and dividing.
And certainly appeals to people who are constantly looking for signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're told we're supposed to look for specific signs, and they're ones that Jesus has told us about. Jesus and the apostles have told us to look for specific signs, but weeping icons is not one of them.
No.
But a lot of people will believe this. It's just like the sightings of Mary at Medjugorje and places like that, Fatima.
Mm-hmm.
These are things that are believed and perpetuated by millions of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I had the and caught some flack from good friends for this. Interviewed a gentleman who was one of the principal spokesmen for the manifestations at Medjugorje.
Mm-hmm.
Because there have been some people who have been so caught up in this that they have abandoned family in order to make the trip over there and contribute family finances to supporting the industry over there. So yeah, there are quite a few people who are so eager for tangible signs that God exists that they miss the ones that are right in front of them.
Yeah.
Which, I've said before, I see, the miracles in my life that have taken place over the last 10 years. Without getting too, too personal, you can miss them if you're looking too hard for the angels, literally coming down from the skies to announce his presence. As we look at the prophetic signs that are taking place around the world, we see another small little signpost on the road, the meeting of BRIC, which is Brazil, Russia, India, China.
A brick upside the head.
Yeah, yeah. One of the key elements of
brick and mortar rounds.
Christian prophecy is the development, or the growth, the assumption of power of a one world government. And
let's just explain really quickly. BRIC stands for
Brazil,
Russia, India, China.
Right, and they they're meeting now in a first summit to and discussing a common currency, a global currency, which, of course, would be, you would think, an essential part of a one-world government. I mean, you got to get everybody on the same page if you're going to enforce a global policy. Why is this important? Well, between those four countries, they've got close to $3 trillion in reserves. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And if they decide that they want to, and a lot of it is held in U.S. dollars right now, which is the de facto reserve currency of the world. You get rid of that and come up with something new. And one of the few remaining obstacles to a global government would be removed. Now, that, of course, and that stubborn nationalism, we ways to get rid of those troublemakers.
Well, I think it would be really easy to dismiss, you know, this association. We're going to just call it BRIC, B-R-I-C. But the fact is that these are four countries that have a lot of clout in the world today. And Medvedev is using this as an opportunity, I think, to sort of elbow his way ahead of Putin. He'd like to cut those strings.
Hmm. That's going to be tough to do.
Mm-hmm.
Vlad is a master politician, and he is not good. I mean, he engineered the position that he's in right now
mm-hmm.
because the Russian Constitution didn't allow him to remain as president forever.
Exactly.
But I suspect that if Medvedev gets too big for his britches, he could wind up in some serious trouble. So, and while that's going on, the protests continue in the streets of Tehran over the results of the elections there.
Have you noticed they're all wearing green?
Another color revolution? Oh, shock and amazement. The Prince of Persia not willing to let loose the reins of power there quite so quickly.
No.
And this is just me talking now. I'm not going to get doctrinal on this, but I think this is an example. Seeing things like this and the rough and tumble politics that in Georgia and between Georgia and Russia, examples of what we've talked about regarding the struggles going on between the fallen angels themselves. They're not all on the same page.
No.
They're every bit as grasping and ambitious as we humans are. And
no, because if you think about it, if there weren't this constant struggle between the nations, the world could have united into one long ago.
Sure. But
the United States or Great Britain even would have been happy to take it all over. Russia would mm-hmm. be happy to take it all over.
Could have happened back in the days of Rome, but
mm-hmm.
It didn't.
It didn't because God is not allowing it yet.
Right. So what we're seeing in Iran right now, there are some reports that have come out from of Tehran that the vote that President Ahmadinejad there may only have received about 30% of the vote.
Well, they're claiming he received about 62%, which is really close to what he allegedly received in his first election.
Mm-hmm.
The Ayatollah Khomeini certified the election, said, yep, he won, mm-hmm. end of story. But now he's saying, well, okay, I'll allow you in to do your own independent audit, rest
yeah.
of the world.
Yeah.
Come on over. Prove us wrong.
Which will have about as much effect as the recount in Florida did back
yeah,
in 2000.
I know. And it's going to turn out that Al Franken won. He's the new president of Iran.
That would be worth that would be worth seeing. Well, we'll see how that all plays out. It is, you know, the more we've dug into the true nature of American politics.
Sam came in to see if you're okay.
Yeah. Dad, you sounded like me when I've got that hairball thing going. When you've looked into the true nature of American politics and the artificially imposed two-party system that we've got, I mean, let's face it. There are only two major parties here, not because we American people want it that way, but because those two parties have colluded to make it nearly impossible for the minor parties to achieve major party status. I mean, think about it. You know, campaign reform, $1,000 donation limits. When you're one of the two incumbent parties, you can get big investment banks to go around and bundle up $1,000 contributions from everybody who works mm-hmm. there and give you really big checks. Whereas, you know, say the Libertarians or the Greens trying to catch up, you know, which they could do if some wealthy guy disgruntled with the system could write a million-dollar check in one fell swoop.
Exactly. Imagine if Russia were to come in and try the Velvet Revolution technique over here.
Yeah.
And put a bunch of money behind. Oh, I guess maybe.
Yeah, China's already tried that.
Yeah, I was going to say, China did try that. China did that.
China did that. But the United States has been doing that as well, and that's where all these color revolutions come from. If you do some reading on the
we had
NGOs.
Orange, rose, and possibly now green, ORG. Well, hey, those three letters are in that same order in a name.
George
Soros.
Yes, whose Open Society Institute provided a lot of the money for the Orange Revolution, the Rose Revolution, there was another revolution, color revolution. What was the one in Lebanon?
You know, we talked about that last Thursday.
Yeah, I forgot. It was another color, though.
Chartreuse.
Yeah. Cedar. Don't know. But anyway, there are wealthy Americans and Westerners who are financing these revolutions in Eastern Europe and in the Middle East, possibly, where American citizens, you know, thinking that it's okay to spread democracy, would be really offended if other nations were to come in here and try to tinker with our political process. And again, a lot of people were upset when it came out that the Chinese were donating so much money to the Democratic National Committee.
Well, people inside Iran have suspected that Soros and his bunch have been in there for a while. A couple of years ago, in May of 2007, a couple of Iranian nationals were arrested. And I'm not really sure what happened to them because they were accused of fronting for the United States, for George Soros and his bunch, to try to, get the ball rolling for a color revolution. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you the link to it because I don't think I've given it to you yet, but there will be a link in the show notes that I'll give to Derek for a video that I watched earlier this afternoon that is really interesting. It's an Iranian video that you have to look at the subtitles. In fact, I finally, just rather than listen to the Farsi that I could not understand, I just muted my machine because I was reading the subtitles anyway. But it starts out with a cartoon of McCain and Soros and a couple of the guy who actually, the political scientist who actually came up with the idea of the Velvet Revolution. I think he wrote a book on it. Hmm. And then, oh gosh, one other gentleman, Bill somebody. Sorry, I can't think of it right offhand. And then it goes into men on the street sort of activities where it's a behind the scenes look into a couple of Iranian people who are part of it and what happens to them. And it's the kind of thing you would have watched in junior high school, you know, back in the 50s. But it's from Iran. It's really interesting. And it's almost funny, but it gives you an idea of how they view this over there and the kind of – this was an infomercial that ran in Iran talking about what the United States was trying to do over there.
Yeah, and that's the low-key stuff. I mean, the covert actions that are taking place inside Iran are that were started underneath –
He says we've gone over time.
Yeah, Sam's telling us we've run over our 15 minutes again. The Bush administration started a series of covert actions inside Iran, basically working with groups that have no qualms about blowing up buildings with innocent bystanders in them in order to topple the government. And apparently those covert actions are continuing now under the the Obama administration.
We're going to have to wrap this up now because Sam is insistent that we must stop.
Stick to our schedule, creatures of
habit.
That's
what he says.
Well, again, we'll put links to the things we talked about in the show notes at PIDradio.com. There'll be a link there to the Piercing the Darkness forum. And, of course, you can always send us email at radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
We're also on Twitter and Facebook and all those great places. By the way, I now have Sharon K. Gilbert, Sharon the letter K. Gilbert, at Facebook. So it's facebook.com/SharonKGilbert.
Oh, yes.
And I think you have?
Derek Gilbert.
Yep.
Yes, so facebook.com/Derek Gilbert. That's D-E-R-E-K. See all kinds of creative spelling to that. So you'll find us there. And until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye bye, everybody.
There's a new day coming. cutting-edge news and analysis on demand.
This is PID Radio.